From Community Public Radio, this is the CPR News. From New York, I'm Don DeBar.
NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg wrapped up a two-day trip to London on Friday. He warned that the military alliance could be under threat if the U.S. and its European allies failed to settle some pending disputes. Press TV's Amina Taylor filed this report from London.
NATO Chief Jens Stoltenberg is warning that straining ties between the U.S. and its European allies are putting at risk 70 years of peaceful relationships and could risk the transatlantic and military alliance. Stoltenberg was in London to deliver that message in a series of high-profile meetings that included talks with the Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson and Britain's Prime Minister Theresa May.
Yes, we see differences between the United States and other allies. Over issues such as trade, climate, and Iran nuclear deal. And there are disagreements within Europe too, over the future direction of the European Union, over values and populism. These disagreements are real. It is not written in stone that the transatlantic bond will survive forever.
The British Prime Minister was keen to stress Britain's status within NATO.
And the reports that you have read are not correct. We will continue to be, as we have been discussing today, continue to be, as I said earlier, that leading contributor to the alliance, but also a leading defence nation.
Despite the cries of unity, there are pressing issues to be clarified when it comes to the very future of NATO, including funding for the organisation and the role and influence of its members.
There are internal disputes at the moment within NATO, that is very clear, and the main issue is how much members of NATO are spending on their defence sector each year. And I believe that Mr. Stoltenberg feels, perhaps fears, that this dispute amongst NATO members is playing into the hands of Russia, because Mr. Stoltenberg has made very, very clear that NATO is being challenged and the country challenging NATO is Russia.
Despite describing Russia as, quote, a common challenge to NATO members, the General Secretary was keen to play down any sense of antagonism between the two powers. Both Jens Stoltenberg and Theresa May represent institutions that are in dire need of international alliances. Both the British government and NATO must be aware that closer ties with the United States may well hold the key to their international fortunes, for better or for worse. With the NATO summit taking place in Brussels in a matter of weeks, NATO and its allies will hope to positively address some of the pressing issues. But with recent history to go by, expect some political surprises. Amina Taylor, Press TV, London.
At least 8 people were reported killed in Syria following an airstrike by U.S.-led forces in Deir el-Zor province, according to state television in Damascus. The airstrike targeted the village of al-Sha'afa, destroying a number of houses as well as public infrastructure, according to the Syrian Arab news agency, Sana'a. U.S. State Department spokesperson Heather Nauert said Thursday that Washington was, quote, deeply troubled by reports of increasing Syrian regime operations, closed quote, in southwest Syria that followed government moves to regain control of some rebel-held areas. Washington said it would take, quote, firm and appropriate measures, closed quote, in response to what it claimed were government violations of the de-escalation deal it brokered with Russia last year to attempt to contain the conflict in the southwestern part of the country. Thursday's strike followed another attack by coalition aircraft in which they reportedly bombed Syrian military positions in the al-Bukamal area of Deir el-Zor province. When Sana'a reported on the strike, citing a military source who said there were fatalities and injuries, the Pentagon denied involvement, saying it was, quote, not a U.S. or coalition strike, closed quote. Some media reports, citing U.S. officials, blamed Israel for the attack. One area of contention among the parties involved in the war in Syria has been the repeated claims of the use of chemical weapons by various sides. Early Friday, Russia's Ministry of Foreign Affairs and Ministry of Defense held a joint briefing in Moscow to discuss some of the problems they've faced during investigations of the use of chemical weapons in Syria. This is Russia's Foreign Ministry spokesperson Maria Zakharova, followed by Major General Igor Kirillov, commander of the Radiological, Chemical, and Biological Defense Forces of the Russian Federation.
Good day, ladies and gentlemen. We're glad to welcome you at this joint briefing held together by the Ministry of Defense and Ministry of Foreign Affairs of Russia. This briefing is being held in Park Patriot, which is well known to all Russians, and I hope that with your assistance as well, as our briefing is oriented on the representatives of diplomatic missions in Moscow, it will be known better to our foreign colleagues, partners, and friends. It's not an occasional place from the point of view of selecting it, so we will refer to it later. And I would like to say that today, on the 22nd of June, in Russia, we know this day is a day of sorrow and memory because the Second World War, Great Patriotic War started this day. We will have official events, and today Russian people commemorate those, remember those who did not return from this war. We were not doing this intentionally, but I think it's kind of symbolical that this event is held on this day. Today the world is going through hard times. It's not about one country or some regions, and Russian leadership spoke about it many times, and a lot has been said on the international platforms. The world is going through transformation. This transformation, of course, affects the international relations and the world we live in. Its foundations, the legal frameworks, were founded as a result of the Second World War. And the future of this world, its appearance depends into our probably and primarily from those people who are involved in military and diplomatic issues, the diplomats, the experts.
That's why today,
this traditional event will be used for us to provide you with the materials and our estimates of what is happening in Syria from the point of view of chemical issues. We have materials which deserve to be demonstrated today. In particular, to the left of me, to the right from you, you can see the equipment and the leaks about this equipment appeared a few days ago. The world is like that. The information is impossible to hide. This question was asked in our briefing in Samara, and I said that we'll do everything possible to answer this question. With facts in our hands, you have these facts, you can see them. And today, representatives of the Ministry of Defense and Ministry of Foreign Affairs invited you to speak about a very important issue, having these facts in hand, which is, and I would like to say it once more, our meeting is interactive. I'd like to say it once again, and you will have a chance to ask questions. I'm speaking about the representative of diplomatic missions. Our meeting is about the use of chemical weapons in Syria. I would also like to say that this problem will go deeper into details about this problem today, but I'd like to say that what you see is real equipment used by the guerrillas, by terrorists. It was found in Duma, the city of Duman. Now the investigation is taking place. Who of the terrorists were using that? On one hand, that's a handmade little plant, but it is semi-professional, and regardless of the fact we're speaking about guerrillas and terrorists, I cannot say with 100%, being sure 100%, I cannot give you specific information who specifically was using that from the guerrillas and from the terrorists. That's still a matter of investigation. I would like to focus your attention that this part, which from the point of view of experts is a professional equipment, unfortunately, was produced in the countries of Western Europe. There is no provenance. We are ready to provide specific information, work in order to our colleagues if they are interested in it, and I think there are no other variants about that, and demonstrate the proof that indeed, unfortunately, this equipment was provided to terrorists from the Western Europe. As for introduction from my side, I think I would conclude on that, and I will give the floor. We'll give the floor directly to the Igor Anatolievich Kirillov. You perfectly know him. Know him very well and many times in this very place, and he was delivering speeches in front of diplomatic representatives. Ladies and gentlemen, the Russian Federation has a specific position that the use of chemical weapons should not be done, and everybody who uses that has to be punished. Russia has fulfilled an obligation and destroyed its chemical weapons. At the same time, U.S., Great Britain, and France are confusing international community and facing confrontation. They blame Syrian Arab Republic in violating the convention and Russian contribution with it. On this background, the campaign was launched on turning the OPCW in a political structure, having the power to introduce strict blaming verdicts towards specific states and its leaders. The mission of OPCW is playing a certain role there, which has its investigations and consultations with U.S. and its allies. The investigation of alleged incidents in Sarakhib, Shekhun, and Tamina, without visiting the location, speaks about non-professionalism of that. Not by chance they use such words like likely, probably, allegedly, etc. The language which is which should not be used for a serious document based on serious proofs. The analysis and use of documents which were obtained without experts going to the places of alleged use of chemical weapons directly contradicts to the provisions of the convention. Is it a norm that the only source of proof are the opposition or non-governmental organizations, white casks, Syrian American medical community, Syrian Center of Fixing Chemical Violations? These proofs are doubtable. Bearing in mind that white casks are assisting to such terrorist organizations as Al-Qaeda, Jabhat al-Nusra, and Jaish al-Islam, which officially announced the use of chemical weapons. During the investigation of this incident, they violated the basic principle of chain of custody, which implies strict consequence of actions to preserve the proof. Violation of standards of OPCW led to contradictions in facts in the reports of the investigations, which have brightly anti-Syrian, specific anti-Syrian character. One of the most well-known episodes is the provocation of white casks on 4th April 2017 in Han Shihun, and they used the scenario of imitation of chemical weapons. Americans used this provocation not waiting to the end of the investigation and the Security Council investigation. They made an air strike on Sharat Air Base, and after that the mission started investigation in distance, and after 3 months it provided the report. The report showed that characteristics of the science were witnessed that the explosives were located on the ground but not dropped from the aircraft. And after that, the traces of explosives were covered with concrete. Then the video materials and where people are demonstrated without special protection of breath and skin. It speaks about lack of zarin in it. Because in case if it was a chemical charge, people would be immediately damaged, both those who were assisting to the victims and the victims themselves. Then those suffered have no signs of phosphor. After 1 year, white casks, white helmets repeated the same scenario on the 7th of April 2018 in Duma. I'd like to say that Russian experts analyzed everything about this incident and came to the conclusion that this one more fake footage. We figured out that in two apartments there were found gas containers allegedly dropped by governmental forces. At the same time, there was a number of doubtful things. First of all, there are no deformation on the containers. If they were dropped from 2,000 meters, they would have been damaged. After drop of that, the interior was intact. The bed where it was allegedly dropped was also intact. It was delivered from the street, and there were no victims, no dead and no casualties. They were sealed only 1.5 months after the inspection came. What result we can expect in investigation of this incident, which already led to massive rocket missile shelling performed by the U.S., Great Britain, and France, violating international norms. They're allegedly preparing one more report with pseudo proofs. As for assistance to the victims of chemical attack, Russian side brought the witnesses of this briefing to Hague, where they saw the convictional, the proofs of this provocation. I want to say that on the eve of the special session of the Conference of Member States of OPCW, called by the Initiative of Great Britain, the US, and France, they brought two more doubtable incidents which were previously not mentioned, which they say was on 4th February 2018 in Sarakip, 24th, 25th and 30th of March 2017 in El Latanna. By this comfortable practice, the mission of the OPCW held a comfortable distance investigation and prepared a report and came to a conclusion that in the suburbs of Sarakip was allegedly used as the chemical weapon course, which was spread mechanically. two laboratories of OPCW, which analyzed the samples of the white helmets, came with contradictory conclusions. Organic components of wood was found in 14 samples by one laboratory, and the other laboratory didn't find a single one. Also, there were traces of explosives in a number of samples, but witnesses spoke about no explosions which took place. Two laboratories identified the list chemicals of list 2 of the convention, where chlor has nothing to do with. At the same time, there is no full match of the analysis of samples. FFM does not consider this fact. They say that literally there are chemicals in the samples which cannot be explained as naturally found in the environment, and relating
to
chloride. They were allegedly brought there by white casks which provided the samples to the FFM. The mission was postponing the investigation to accommodate the U.S. and their allies. And the final report on the incident in Эльтамна was published 18 months after it allegedly happened, only to promote this fact, to promote the decision of the pseudo-court functions providing them to OPCW to find those guilty and to convict them. The experts of FFM said that on the southern outskirts of Эльтамна on 24th, 30th of March 2017, with high probability, Zarin was used. And on 25th March of 2017, they say allegedly chloride was used. Incidents of 24th and 30th of March 2017. The shell crater does not match with the shell crater typical for aviation shell, and it is imitated by white casks in Khan Shaykhun. So the conclusion of FFM that it was chemical is not proved by any proofs. We made analysis of photos. There we can see fragments of strong corrosion of regular high explosive bomb, but not a chemical one. These munition parts were lying there not less than 5 years in the open. Regardless of various meteorological, ballistical and other conditions, the results of analysis of samples of Эльтамна and Хан Шихун are practically identical. White helmets used some standard mixture to falsify the situation. The report also says that the representatives found four biometrical samples, and they showed the absence of biomarkers of Zarin. Though it is obvious, this factor is used to be used in Zarin, like 6.3 of the report. In this context, it is important to recognize that not being able to find biomarkers relating to exposure of organophosphate nor of agents may signify no exposure. Similarly, there are scientific reasons why these biomarkers may not be detected, principally due to the significant time lapse between potential exposure and collection, sample amount, and limit of detection of the analytical methods. That's going from the report. So we have to state that once more a procedure of medical probes and samples was violated, like in the case of Skripali. We remember a situation, all the media said that the mission which came to Salisbury was looking for samples. A point of report number 18. The samples were taken by personnel in the hospital with the use of equipment of the OPCW. Incident on 25th of March 2017. Alleged use of chloride is explained by the appointed laboratories found set of low organic components. In fact, based from the list, most of them are trichlorphenol, which is antiseptic and is present in the samples from the hospital. It's quite reasonable in this situation. Parallel to chlororganic components, the degradation product of Zarin was found. The reporters do not connect it with the use of Zarin and explain it that degazation by water was performed in this premise to those who suffered on 24th of March 2017. In this case, we have a question. Where are the other components of Zarin found in the samples referring to this incident?
Where did they take it? According to our opinion, it was deliberately put into the samples in order to discredit the Syrian army. It once again demonstrates that FFM conducts investigation as it pleases. It has nothing to do with the objectiveness, neutrality, and impartiality. In the territory of Syria, the specialists and experts of the chemical protection forces have repeatedly discovered the clandestine chemical laboratories and warehouses of toxic chemicals. Today we discovered more than 40 tons of the poisonous and toxic agents. We repeatedly asked to send experts on the ground, but they said that these 40,000 tons have been used for the documentation of the pools. We also identify the warehouse and specialized laboratory for the production of the chemical toxic agents. We provided these samples to the OPCW experts, but they were of no interest. This equipment is before you. This equipment, they produced highly technological, high-quality explosive 10. And we discovered also tiadiglycol and diethylamin, which could be used for the production of the sulfur and nitrogen mustards. And we have evidence of the application, and also as hexamine, which is a stabilizing additive for Zarin. Besides, we identified the cylinder with chlorine, which is used to imitate the chemical attack. This equipment implements the final stage of fusion of blister agents, and this part is produced in the European countries. The constructive position of the Syrian Arab Republic and Russia are confirmed by the efforts which were undertaken in order to provide the comprehensive assistance and help to FFM in investigation in Duma. But we expect to see another anti-Syrian report. I would like to draw your attention to the fact that Syria is that in Syria eliminates all poisonous chemicals, and it was awarded, this organization was awarded with the Nobel Prize, and Syria is making every possible effort to complement all the obligations assumed in limitation of the facilities, and Syrians eliminated on June 8, 2018 one of the chemical production facility, and it was the OPCW said that they need to organize a tender in order to eliminate the chemical production facilities. And in conclusion, I would like to say that the Russian Federation is also trying to operate the specific facts and arguments. But our partners are always trying to shy this consideration. On the contrary, Russia is caring about the reputation of while trying to organize to overcome systematic failures and avoiding the politicization and prejudice and its work.
And that's all the news we have for you right now. For Community Public Radio, I'm Don DeBar in New York. Thanks for listening.